welcome to Corolla Classics for Saturday, January 21st, 2023. We're going to play some highlights of the Adam Carolla Show here for you. My name's Chris Loxamana. I'm the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Corolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you, Gio. All right, so we got a lot of clips lined up. But before we get to them, I want to remind everybody, if you want to submit a clip request, it's really easy to get a hold of us. Just send an email to classics@adamcarolla.com with your request, with your memory of what you want to hear. Or you can find Gio or myself on Instagram, Facebook, wherever. Let us know, because we want to hear some of your favorite moments and track them down and play them for everybody. So this first clip, this is a listener request from Randy. He's out of Omaha, Nebraska, and he just writes, I want to hear some Damashek going crazy and blasting people, which is, yeah, that's an incredible request. I love it, and who doesn't want to hear that? It's one of my favorite things that Dave does is the jerk list, and or when he does a creep of the week, or he announces someone's a jerk or a creep. It's beautiful. He has Brian play the blaster. So let's go back to 2017 when we had Mr. Funny, or Dr. Funny, Dave Damashek, on the show.
How dare you mistitle him?
I know.
You worked on the show. I mean, somebody another guy worked on the show.
It's been too long.
It's Adam Carolla Show 2138, featuring Jerry Roken on this portion. Dave Damashek, Gina Grab, Brian Bishop. This one's from August of 2017. We get Jerk List and Creep of the Week. Hope you guys enjoy.
All right, Shaq.
Oh, now I go, your favorite bit of all time, and then followed by my tepid nonsense.
We need a break from the comedy.
Yeah, gotta break it up.
Hit it!
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Deja vu, right? That's a 10-year, I haven't heard that in forever. Deja Ju.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel, too, by
Jimmy.
The way. And I, this show's lousy with Kimmel officially now. We see show, now we're hearing his voice there. All right, this isn't properly jerk list music, but let's use it anyway and start off with the greatest competition, not the game of football, the game of life, and you know the Shecky Awards address those at the end of every year. Here's an important update, and it's not a good one. Mm. 2017, we're in August. This is the height of all fruits powers, pretty much. But I'm ready now to announce one is out of the running. Ooh. And it's usually right up there, but we
one
don't
fruit.
Even need,
disappointed
we,
you this
we
year.
We don't need to even get to Labor Day before I say you're out of the running. I'm sorry, I took a bite of you. In fact, I took a few bites of you last night, and you were mealy and you were unsatisfying. Goodbye, watermelon. You're a jerk. Have you had watermelon late? I mean, this is the time for it to shine,
yeah.
And it ain't doing it. Let me down.
There's no comeback for watermelon possible, and it's off. It's out of the running?
Well, I mean, listen, if it's not going to be delicious in August, what miracle is going to have to happen? I guess let's never say never.
You know that Christmas watermelon you look forward to?
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, if it ain't going to get it done now, you know. Next up, sticking with food-based things, I think we can all agree, we all like corn on the cob, right?
Yeah.
All buttered up in summertime. Ham, you know, the most underrated breakfast meat. Throw some bone-in ham in a pan.
Bone-in ham.
Oh, you'll go wild. Yeah. It might even replace bacon for you. Ham either way. And then cheese. So much range that's delighted us. Why then? Who's the wiseacre who decided way back when that not just one of those words, but all three would mean the same thing, and it would be a negative to be called corny, hammy, and or cheesy.
Wow.
All three, the same thing, all foods, and all good food. Why would you use good food? Why would you sully those after all and each has done for our lives? Why not? Well, you know, if you want to denounce somebody, you know, the three-week-old oniony. I don't know what. Well, it's a bad food, but I'll tell you this. Corn, ham, and cheese ain't it. And if you think any of them are, you're a jerk!
Right, I mentioned at the podcast masterclass, ironically, all Jews are hams.
That's true.
Wow.
They're
that
the
is
hammiest of all the people. Never met a quiet... I bring up
reflective.
Hold on. I bring up Ron Jeremy.
He is the way. He is exactly.
Porn
what you're
stars
talking about.
Let their urethra do their talking. They're not chatty people. They're porn stars. They're high all the time with a boner. Like they're just
they speak softly and they don't carry.
There is one Jewish porn star. His name is Ron Jeremy, and he'll talk everyone's ear off. If you pick the one Jew in, like, you know, you find, if you could find, like, the one Jew in porn, the one Jew in NASCAR, like, the one Jew in whatever, that'll be the talkiest person in the entire sport. Ron Jeremy arguably talks as much as 35 porn stars. Like, if you took 35 Peter Norris and you put them all together, Ron would talk more than them. It's insane.
And, well, and he tells, because, you know, with the Man Show, he was around a couple of times at least.
Yeah.
He tells the worst jokes of all. I mean, really.
The other thing, too.
Like the one that your great uncle, you know, like, I go, you like a joke? I'll tell you a good joke. Like, oh my God, that's dreadful.
And doesn't he always end it with his own mouth sound effect, like a whistle or a click? Have you experienced that? Yes, he sure does.
Mm. Oh, does he?
Yes, he sure does.
How would you know?
I haven't experienced
a little, what do you call that?
Oh, like to make the droplets?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of those.
The thing the guy from Animal House would do.
A lot of those.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing. Yeah. All right. Moving on quickly. This is sad. This is about the human existence or this Jew's existence. Last week, I went through a sneezing fit. I snap off about sometimes 10, 15 sneezes in 90 seconds. And I was getting physically and otherwise fatigued of the sneezing. And so I sort of went into half a crouch. And I sneezed, and the next thing I know, I could not stand upright. I was suddenly was bent into sort of a 45-degree angle, and I couldn't lower myself to the ground, nor could I stand upright. My back went out.
Yes.
From a sneeze.
Road trip. Santa Monica, Florida. Guy whose wife is his best friend, or a guy who can't recover from 10 sneezes.
One sneeze.
Dave complaining about how his back hurts the whole time. Like, I can't stand up. I can't lay down. What do you want me to do?
I'll take the shirtless guy who loves his
this
wife.
This is true.
I pulled a muscle in my arm once scooping ice cream. It was hard and I was digging into it, the spoon, and like pulled something. I realized, could there be a less manly way to injure oneself other than with an ice cream scooper?
Now you've heard it. See, I've one-upped you. Fruzinglaja.
Yeah.
So I threw my back out to the point that I actually, this is crazy. I know you're not supposed to go to the emergency room unless it's an actual emergency.
Mm-hmm.
That's how grim it was. I could not move. I had to be basically helped to the car. And then once we got to the emergency room, it was late Sunday night. I had to be, they had to come and pull me out of the car and put me into a wheelchair because that's how destroyed I was.
New hypothetical.
Wow.
So yeah, it's, you know.
Especially at outfitted van going to Florida.
Oh, boy.
It was just horrible. But that's my existence. You're a jerk, but it does bring me to the creep of the week.
Yes, it does.
Creep, creep, creep of the week, of the week. He or she is the creep of the week. Well, this back injury that had me laid up for the better part of a week overlapped with what was supposed to be an appearance here on the Adam Carolla Show. Right. I couldn't make it in, and I called Gary, and I said, Gary, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. You know, I just don't think I can go. And he said, that's all right, buddy. We'll see you next week, okay? Yeah, we're jammed up anyway today. That's okay. Well, hopefully we'll see you in 7 days. Take care. Bye now. Hangs the phone up, and I thought, that's a shame. I hate to miss out on that. The next day, I find out that on the Adam Carolla Show, that day, Danielson LaRusso is in studio. You don't choose to tell me that. I would have called up Miyagi, Gary, to put the magic hands on me. Rub me right. Make it so. Make me better. Let me come in and see him. And by the way, why doesn't Miyagi use the magic hands a little bit sooner than when Danielson says, I need it for balance, Mr. Miyagi? How about the fact that he has a broken femur, you old man? How about that's enough of a standard to heal the teenager who's got a broken leg now to go along with his fragile heart that's been destroyed by a collection of karate kung fu doing bullies? And all of you, and go to Cobra Kai, Gary, because you're not just a villain, you're also the creep of the week. Don't call me. Machio's gonna be here. You don't let me know.
Yeah, man.
I Carrie, come and I would thank you to come and pick me up. and carry me if need be. You don't mention that.
Wow.
Macho is here.
Give him something to think about.
He was really nice.
What was he
charming.
Like?
Oh, he's the best.
Sweet guy.
Best.
Everything you dreamed, but a little more.
Yeah. And humble.
All right, real quick, and before we take a break.
Who did he think his toughest foe was out of the three he fights?
He said alcoholism. Oh, that was off the air. No. Oh, probably shouldn't have said anything. Oh, I see the context now. Okay.
That makes sense.
We'll edit that out. Tom, 30, Philadelphia.
Ace man, what up?
What's going on?
Jack, good to see you.
Yeah, man.
Good to see you too, Tom.
So, I saw on Facebook the other day, apparently your buddies, Bill Simmons and Kevin Hinch, are doing a podcast where they break down their 25 favorite Tom Brady, Bill Belichick moments.
Ugh. Oh. Christ. I've been made aware of this.
People wonder why we hate Patriots fans. Is there a question anymore?
I know. Yeah.
So what I think would be kind of funny, now that Sheck is here, Ace, you should call your bookie, put a $100 bet on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, but call Simmons at the same time and put him on mute.
All right. Well, maybe Sal will be there and we can
conference call it.
Is this specifically to put the whammy on the Patriots?
You guys don't understand whammy theory, though. The deal with the whammy is it can't be intentional whammy.
Yeah, you need to want to cash
the idea
in.
Is to have me get punished, not to have them win.
Right.
You understand? So I can't do it volitionally or proactively. Right. That's not how the whammy god works.
Yeah, it's not whammy magic.
You feel me, Tom? Like, I have to do it with sincerity.
Gotcha. But it would still freak them out a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think they'd like it. But again, if it's done as a preemptive strike to stop the Patriots from getting to another Super Bowl, it won't work. It has to be heartfelt.
You have to want to win.
You know what they are? You know what the New England Patriots are?
You understand I took Atlanta and no money line.
Is that true?
I just took Atlanta straight up, and I said before the Super Bowl, if Atlanta wins, they're going to roll. They're going to win big. If the game's close, the Pats are going to win. And both things happen. Exactly. But you know how great I felt somewhere in the mid-third quarter or fourth quarter?
When Alford picks off Brady as he's running down the sideline and Brady, dignity falls out of his pocket as he dives helplessly after him.
Flails.
Running in.
Atlanta and the money
line. They're going to lose this game still.
Atlanta and the money line I had on that. And they lost. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Painful.
If I remember correctly, I think I predicted it to a T, and I didn't even know what sport we were talking about.
No, that's why you get to do it.
Dave, you know what they are, though? Here's what the Patriots are, and I just thought of this. They are football's answer to, I can't think of the guy's name who always wins the hot dog eating contest.
Kobayashi.
Now Chestnut. Right.
All those guys, though. They all fall under the same thing. They're like the Patriots. Oh, fine. So they win, but it's joyless. They're eating wieners, but they're missing the point of it. The pleasure is, and I've always said this, I've advocated for that hot dog eating contest. You want to get in the foes' heads before you say, wait, hold on, before we start, I need a side of fries and, you know, a double chocolate shake.
You
start mixing in, a shake and everything else. What? This guy's wild. Why? Because he has passion for what he's doing. These guys, they're older. What's their mantra? This is what a decade and a half is going to be remembered as, do your job. Well, that's a lot of fun. A lot of passion there.
I don't know all the rules with the hot dog eating competition over there, but did they allow gays to enter? Because I feel that's an unfair
advantage.
That's an un.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, right? They do drug testing.
Yeah, true.
In other sports. I mean, I'm not. I hope I don't sound too naive here,
but I feel like that's a huge advantage.
That's totally. Just unfair.
I like the character that the
I'm asking. I want to because I want to know
the overly
because I
earnest
know.
Guy.
Yeah.
No, I'm genuinely
now,
curious.
Is that what that be?
Oh, earnest bigot.
I love that movie series.
They're faster because they have a different muscle in their thigh, right? I want to know. I just want to know. I'm not.
By all means, correct me if
I'm
wrong.
That's a great new character you've stumbled into.
And that
there.
Muscle holds them down when they get in the pool, right? They can't.
Yeah, they're dense bones.
I don't know the answer.
I'm asking is what I'm saying. Ernest Bigot. And it could be Ernest Bigot goes to Vegas.
Yeah.
Ernest Bigot goes to Alabama.
Goes to Super Bowl.
Goes to Selma. Ernest Bigot. Hey, Vern! Ernest Bigot, I flap That's open great. The windows of my kitchen. Hi, Vern! Ernest Bigot here. They have questions. So Mexicans have their own language, right? And they have, they read,
whoa,
right?
Whoa, like, whoa,
they
why write are you getting down? Angry? I'm just asking
I
a question.
Know. Mexicans write stuff down, right? Like, they have their language, but it's in a book, too, right? Or they not read? I don't know.
I don't know. I've never been there. How
I'm asking. They have grades higher than 9. Is that true or not true? I want to know. I'm asking. Ernest Bigot.
That's right.
Ernest Bigot.
Excellent.
And then we'd do the whole thing.
He has an open mind.
We'd go right with the Hey Vern guy. Mm-hmm. Ernest Bigot goes to jail.
Jim Varney?
Yeah, Jim Varney.
Pretty sure he's long since dead.
Oh, no, he's gone. Yeah. I'm playing the role of Ernest.
Oh,
I'm
assumed.
Ernest Bigot. I'm the new Ernest.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right? And we do one of those things where, like, Ernest J. Bigot. Like, we give me a middle initial, so it throws everyone off a little bit. You know Ernest J. Bigot, don't you? And then I do stuff when I meet, like, an Asian. I put my hand to the side and go, can you see this? No, I want to know. I'm asking. I'm just asking questions. And we have me hit all the different nationalities. We travel. We do like the old Bob Hope type road trip stuff, sure, with Ernest. Gary, figure out all the Ernest movies. I think he went to prison at a certain point.
Yeah, go to jail. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, he goes to jail. And Ernest J. Bigot will go to the same places.
Does he go to a synagogue and check the Jews for horns?
Yes, he wants to know.
You want me to read you off the list of places he went?
Yeah,
please. He went to camp. He saved Christmas. He went to jail. He was scared stupid. He rides again. Goes to school. Slam dunk, Ernest. Ernest goes to Africa. Ernest in the army.
Oh.
And there's another one here that's an unnamed cameo. I don't think applies.
Ernest J. Bigot.
Goes to concentration camp.
Oh, sure.
I love it.
He's international.
All right. all right. But Gene, do you know the answer to the question with the hot dog eating competition?
I think they probably do okay, but I think it's probably even because you don't tend
to. But they don't check, is what I'm saying.
Right, but I also don't think they tend to bite it off. You know?
Hot dog?
Right. But for the competition.
They have to.
Look.
They don't check.
They don't check.
Okay. All right.
Well,
if it's
asking
a stupid question, then tell me.
I get it.
I like the aside checking with a friend. Like, do you understand what's... Because I just was asking, do you have any opinion on that? Did you see how angry? Because I was just trying to find out something. I thought that was...
And that was Dave Damashek back in 2017. Adam Carolla Show. Love whenever he's on. He's one of my favorite guests. If, you know, he's incredible. Always brings up
such a different vibe with Adam. It's such a rare thing. Like, you know, there's those two basic cable commentaries they did. The Roadhouse one's one of the funniest commentaries ever done. 2006 of the Adam Carolla Morning Show on KLSX. It's 1 year of the show with Damashek on every episode. It's crazy. If you love Damashek, it's like nothing you've ever heard before. It's almost like the Stern Show, but better, with Damashek and Adam.
Yeah.
And then you've, of course, got Dave's of Thunder, and then you've got more Dave's of Thunder.
And that's right.
You've got every possible weird place he's shown up on Adam's career. Good Sports. There's so much stuff we haven't even covered yet in this feed, let alone all the other shows that aren't Adam-related.
And there's definitely more to come. We'll have Dave back on the show. And they just saw each other at the Kimmel 20th anniversary party. So there you go. All right, let's get going with our next clip. Now we're going to go back to October of 2010 when we had Brian, Adam, and Susie McCoppin.
Adam Carolla Show, episode 426. This is a very interesting one because it's the one where Brian first brings in his dog and Adam notices where he puts his dog. Mm. It's a very funny story that would come from this moment. This is part one of the episode. It's not the full part one. It's just some funny chunks. I'll play part two tomorrow with some even funnier chunks with Nick Swartzen. Until then, hope you enjoy.
Yeah, get it on. Thank you. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Good to see you, Bald Brian.
Laugh it up. It's going to get funny.
You brought your pup in with you tonight?
Correct.
Nice. What's your dog's name?
Charleston. Charlie for short.
Yeah. How long have you had her?
We rescued him, Adam. We rescued. He's been rescued by us.
You went in lower down from a Huey.
That's right.
Shoulder roll. Or you went in and got dog.
No, we ziplined in. You know what I'm saying?
Ziplined.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, we dropped in a couple 6 months ago.
Ah, good. Cute dog. Filthy dog on my pillow on the filthy
Here's
floor.
The thing. You freaked out about the pillow. But,
no, I did not freak out.
No, you didn't freak out, but no. you did. You know what? You had Adam Carolla freak out, which is you made a,
I'm interested.
My pillow, huh?
I'm interested in people's process. Susie McCoppin is here. She's been here before, done the show before. Good to see you, sweetie.
Good to be seen by you.
I just mean sometimes people come in here, oftentimes women, but on the occasional
occasionally we get a home a fella that comes in here, and they do the show, and they're guys and gals especially that like to like put their feet on the sofa. For instance, it's one of those things where they just take they're wearing tennis shoes and they literally sit in a way where they'll just put their feet like this. And like I've seen people sit here, and at a certain point, it actually looked like they're trying to clean their shoes off on the sofa. And I thought, I would never go on to someone's, essentially walk around on someone's sofa with my feet. It feels weird to me.
And presumptuous.
And I'm a guy, I pee in the sink, by the way. But it feels weird to me. And our floor here, the carpet here is akin to the carpet that's at the airport security at Burbank Airport. It's not in great shape.
True or false, this carpet's ever been cleaned?
Yes. Oh, this carpet has been cleaned.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, it's true, because Donnie and I had our biggest fight we've ever had in our lives.
I've cleaned it twice. I've cleaned this freaking carpet.
You've cleaned it, or I've paid Gary to clean it?
Both. I've cleaned it once, and then the blowout was Gary cleaned it.
Would you like to discuss how that blowout unfurled?
No, not really.
All right, I'll tell. 3 months. I've been saying to Donnie, who has a home shampooer, carpet cleaner sort of thing.
The kind you rent from the store?
One of the ones you'd buy at IKEA or something. The kind you'd buy instead of rent. Yeah. But either way, it worked. And this place has been filthy ever since we worked on the Hammer. Because the thing about like independent film people, they claim to be sort of caring about other people, but not free workspaces. There was just food all over the place. And every time someone knocked over a cup of coffee or something, they'd dab it up with their shirt sleeve and then they'd walk away. The place was disgusting. And I'd been saying to Donnie for about 3 months, hey, man, you know, every other week, bring in that carpet shampooer. I'll get Gary to do the carpets up in here. And he'd go like, yeah, all right. And at a certain point when he stopped doing it, I'd start saying things like, hey, Donnie, do me a favor, put it by the front door. Like I'd be on the phone with him at home, you know, put it by the front door right now. So tomorrow morning when you come in, you don't forget it this time. And then he'd come in the next day and I'd be like, where's the carpet shampoo? And he'd just casually go, that's not here. And somewhere between 12 and 18 times, I announced to my assistant, Jay, I said, you know what, Jay? You know, if it was a fucking mini bike part, he would not forget it. Just like my wife doesn't forget anything to do with Bruce Springsteen, but everything to do with everything else. So I said, you know, if it had to do with a fucking taco mini bike, he would bring it in. You know that, Jay. I was saying to him that morning, I came in here that about noon, and there's a huge mini bike part sitting on the table right here in the kitchen. Literally less than an hour after I said that to Jay. And then I said, Don, where did this mini bike part come from? And he said, brought it from home. And I said, at that point, it was like it was almost meant to be. It was like some sort of cosmic alignment of whatever.
A fury.
And I said, Donnie, how many goddamn times are we going to? And I did the one I always do. You're in my warehouse for free. Can you fucking show me some dignity and bring the goddamn carpet cleaning thing in here? And at this point, Donnie does what all good chicks do. Yeah, fuck you. Now he storms out to go get it, except for now I'm the bad guy because I asked him to bring the carpet cleaning equipment 28 times. He ignored it every single time. Yeah, but I was going to pay someone. I never said for you to do it. I was going to pay Gary to use it. And now you get to be pissed at me? How's that work?
Yes.
Why? Because we were in the middle of construction. We were putting up the window, and there was drywall going
on. We were putting up the window?
This window. And you and your dollar, Gary, did that.
Thank you.
And at that point, I was operating completely on my own, staying up till 2, 3 in the morning.
How did you remember the mini bike part?
It came from eBay on UPS. So it was sitting at my front door. So it was a small box.
It's
like lugging a carpet cleaner and throwing it in the back of my car.
But Donnie, honestly, is it?
Besides that, I clean the warehouse constantly. Let's not get into the Lamborghini parts.
Let's not get into it. I know it's a joke. I know you're joking. By the way, Donnie has so much insane hubris that when I say to him, you know, your Mustang's been on top of my car lift
not anymore.
3 years now, he yells at me, your Lamborghini's parked in there and the bumper's all over, the parts are all over the place. And I go, My Lamborghini, you're coming back at me. My Lamborghini is parked in my warehouse, and there's parts, and there's parts, put it, parts in a box bumper that parts. Are slid under the back of the car. That's your comeback? My car's on my property?
Yeah, because I'm what else you got? Moving your Lamborghini
what?
Parts.
Your kids are living in your house?
You really do speak for the common man.
It's true. Listen, I'm just saying, Donnie, that's not what you call a comebacker. It's not like I'm going to go take a good hard look in the mirror after that. You know, the kid, when he's right, he's right. Touche, my friend. You've won this round.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, he flipped out and went home to go get the. He did the. Fine. You want your fucking carpet? And by the way, it's not my. I want to clean the carpets
argue
where
with the
you
king? Am
were.
I argue with what? The king?
No. So he goes. It was fine, and he storms out. And there's a part of me wanted to like run out in the parking lot and go like, all right, forget. And then there's part of me thought, well, I guess I'll be getting my carpet cleaning machine in here. So let's not interrupt this angry process. And then he drove angry in a Mini, which I don't recommend anyone doing. It doesn't look right when you have a little daisy in your flower holder and you're driving angry.
Burning out, getting squirrel.
Yeah. Drove home, got it, and came back. All right. Susie has the news. Nick Swartzen's coming in as well. I got a couple of notes to give all you people. We got a little Twitter contest going on because my book's coming out. It's dropping, as the kids say. That's November 2nd. Get those pre-orders going at Amazon, and we'll get right back up into the top 10. We're already there for a couple weeks back in, I don't know, about 3 months ago. So we should get back up there again. I thank you guys all for that. I guarantee I poured my heart and soul into it. So if you're a fan of this show, you're going to dig the book. And we got a little Twitter contest. It's about ranting. You can come down and we'll talk to you. And there's a couple of rules. Just go to AdamCarolla.com, check it out, and then you can hop on your Twitter and go sick, as they say. Also, before we hit the news, want to talk about my good friends at Go to My PC. That's right. Great news. Go to My PC, available for Mac users, too. That's right. You can access your Mac from any other computer or PC. I should say Mac or PC, and retrieve those files. No longer feel naked and alone when you're out on vacation or you went on a business trip and some piker stole your laptop. You can just go down to the center there in the Holiday Inn, hop on a computer, and access whatever you need to access. It's like having every file you ever had with you. You can take it with you. It's Go to My PC. Want to try it for free? Well, I got a 45-day special trial only for our listeners. Only available, by the way, if you use the promo code Adam. Visit gotomypc.com, click on the Try It Free button, and remember to use the promo code Adam. And also, I'm going to be at some place called Blog World coming up this Saturday. Go to Blog World. It's at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center Saturday, October 16th. We're going to be there. All right? There. Hey, Susie.
Sir.
Let's do some news,
all
baby
right.
girl.
Live from the International News Center. Next to Donnie's mini bikes, this is the news with Susie McCoppin.
Hey, anyway, by the way, Ball Bryan took one of the pillows off our sofa, put it on our filthy floor, and his dog is now scratching itself
you
on
said,
top of it.
You did say semi-passive aggressively, I want to know what people think. You want to know what I was thinking?
Mm.
The pillow had been cast aside to the end of the couch for quite some months now, and it was underneath another pillow, and it was a mismatched pillow. So in my mind, this is an extra pillow. This is a pillow that people don't use.
Superfluous.
Yeah. So I thought, this dog needs someplace soft to sit on, and
There's a picture of Dawson cleaning up his dog shit from our floor. Well, can I say this about people's dogs?
If I was wrong, I apologize.
No,
it seemed
no.
to me to be an extra pillow.
I'm not offended. I'm just confused, and it gives me a little insight.
Well, that's
all.
That's
seemed
to me to be extra.
People bring their dogs on airplanes. I was sitting at a restaurant. Donnie and I were sitting at a restaurant yesterday. Someone next to a table next to us was sitting with their dog on their lap. I used to have a makeup artist at MTV that would hold a dog while she applied makeup. And I'm not allergic to dogs or anything. I just thought to myself, hey, bitch, leave the fucking dog at home. You're doing a job. I'm not allergic to dogs, but some people might be. It's weird that we have this thing where we're fucking nuts about like secondhand smoke, and we're crazy about peanuts and allergies and mold and all this kind of shit, but somehow dogs, and I guarantee there's more people that are allergic to dog dander, they fly on airplanes where all the fucking air is just recirculated. How does that work? And I know people like their dogs. I like my dog too, but I leave it the fuck at home when I go out on the road.
Well, here's the thing. You know, my wife had a job interview.
He's adorable.
Today, and I was asking about the pros and cons of the job. It was the office like, it was the boss like, and the, you know, pros and cons. And now she goes, "Oh, good news! They're dog friendly. There's dogs all over the office." Mm-hmm. I think that's a cool thing. I think it's a cool thing for people to have at work.
It's
awesome.
I
like, dog in here 75% of the time. It's really
I
cool.
know, and his dog just runs over people and licks their balls and jumps up on stuff and craps on the floor. And then
balls.
They always talk to their dog. He talks to his dog as if his dog is trained. His dog's as trained as the dog is on The Simpsons. Christmas or Snowball.
Snowball.
Yeah.
No, that's the cat.
Oh, no.
Santa's Little Helper.
Santa's Little Helper. Yeah, it just runs around, knocks things over. And then Dawson says in a surprised tone, what's his name? Fucking
Boo.
Boo. Boo? Like, Boo, this is not the Boo I know. Really? That's the only Boo I'm aware of. When it knocks shit over. I'm just, I like dogs.
Boo!
But it's weird. It's weird that people taking a pillow off someone's sofa, putting it on the floor, and then putting your dog on it is weird.
It seemed extra. I'll wash the pillow.
You don't have to.
No,
I only care about the content. Listen, I pee in the sink and eat shit off the floor. I don't give a shit myself. I find it... I don't think I would do that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's consistent with people putting their feet on your couch.
Where do you come down with people putting their feet
because you
on
engender
the
a climate of just
casualness?
Yes.
You should take it as a compliment. Yeah, the guest feels so comfortable here.
Well, but clearly they're wrong.
But could you imagine walking off the street, in our case, a semi-filthy parking lot, coming into someone's home and literally walking around on top of their sofa? No one would ever do
that's
that, right?
No. Peculiar.
But when Sarah Silverman, or she's just one of those chicks who sits that way, sits with her sort of knees bunched up against her chest, and she has both her keds flat down on top of the sofa, that's just sort of wiping your feet off on the sofa.
Essentially.
All right, I don't want to sound like a super gay Tony Randall or something. It just
Too
seems
late.
Weird to me.
But you're wearing sweatpants, so. Again.
I'm a slob. To me, it's not the slobbery part. It's the entitlement part.
Yes.
That's the part that feels weird to me.
I'm with you.
I would happily, I pee in people's sinks, but I don't come out and announce
people's?
It. People's? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yes, I shall.
Just because of lack of motivation for walking the extra 2 feet to the toilet, or was the toilet occupied, or what
habit,
was the
habit, convenience, what have you. Okay. Sometimes I like to look myself in the mirror and pose down while I'm urinating, but I don't come out and announce it.
I would strike convenience out of your argument, by the way, because that is by no means more convenient.
Oh, yes, absolute time
what?
Saver.
That's crazy.
You want to know why I get so much done? How many Lamborghinis do you have again, son?
You know what? You give me a lot to think about.
Yeah.
Start I just had a vision. You have a whole line of like success speeches, you know, like motivational speeches,
right.
All based around the idea, the germ of the idea.
Right.
Peeing in the sink.
Time shaver. And literally a shaver because I shave while I'm peeing in the sink.
You'd be like Tom Wu.
Yeah.
You want to get this yacht? Stop peeing in the sink.
Tom Wu. Oh, God, do I miss Tom Wu. You're a coward. You can't make money because you're round-eyed. You're a pussy. I come over here in coffee can from Vietnam with 14 brothers and sisters. I work washing dishes.
Now
I have yacht, bitch. I have Lamborghini Gallardo and Murcielago, bitch. And I live in big home with lots of bitches with boob jobs who sit on the deck of my cigarette boat.
Tom Wu would shame you.
I think Tom Wu was an inspirational, like these guys from the 90s.
He was not inspirational.
He inspired me to laugh. No, these guys used to do these infomercials that came on in like the early 90s where it's like, hey, you sitting around, you make money. This guy was, I think it was Vietnamese.
Yeah,
he had this
maybe.
Crazy broken accent, and he would basically call you a coward. Like he would challenge you to buy real estate with no money down and make money. But he would also... show you the spoils of his riches.
He would give you the speech from his yacht.
He would do it from the yacht.
Oh, yeah,
and he'd have hot chicks dancing around on the deck of the yacht. I think he went to prison, by the way. He must
that
have violated
scary.
some RICO act or something, and he's now in the joint. Anyway, Susie.
Yo.
Sorry. The
Don't
news.
Be.
The news, baby.
Big news. Behold the shiny brilliance of GQ's 2010 Bald Top 100.
Mm.
That is...
Fingers crossed.
Yes. The most powerful men who are follicularly challenged. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So, do you want to guess? I have about, like, maybe 30 people here.
The commish?
Michael Chiklis?
I don't know. No.
I'm out.
Yeah, you're out. You're fired.
I'm out. That's all I got.
Not just actors,
it's either Brian or the commish. That's all I got. Shaq. That's all I got.
Is Ross Perot? bald.
You can't count black guys here because they shave their head.
Yeah, that's Will. Yeah, exactly.
Michael Jordan's definitely voluntary. Top 10.
There you go. Nice. All right, Jordan, he's up there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a crazy time we're living in, Brian. I know I tell you this all the time, but I'm telling you, there was a time called the 70s and 80s where if you shaved your head, you were like a fucking your Bond villain or something. Like, it was insane. And now you turn on these shows, like you do, you know, these NFL shows, these weekend shows, and there's like three bald guys all sitting there, one black guy and two white, you know, Trent Dilfer and whatever. And everyone's just bald, Hasselbeck sitting there. Yeah. Everyone's just bald. It's like, that was insane. You would have to grow it out, even if you could just grow it on the sides back in the day. It was a horrific look.
It's a horrible rule.
Yeah. No, it really was. You had to. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you looked like the guy from Rocky Horror Picture Show. I don't know, Knick Knack or whatever his name was.
Who, me?
All right, who do we have?
We got Larry David.
Hmm?
Yeah. He's all right. Yeah. Okay, all right. He's got more money than me. Charles Barkley. That's number one.
Charles Barkley?
Yeah.
It's number one.
He's
on
the most powerful bald man.
I don't know if he's the most.
In terms of rebounding,
not
in order.
I don't know if it's in order.
What's Park? Is it how much money you make? How much pussy you get? What's
I
the
think
deal?
It's how much pussy you get. Yeah, I think
how many
that's
guys
the
you can
sign.
Throw through a window?
Yeah, Barkley pulled a Fatty Arbuckle, ironically, shoved someone through a window once. All right, who else? Anyone surprising on there?
Sean Connery. There you go, Bond villain. Well, he's Bond.
Any females undergoing chemo treatment that they could cruelly toss on there?
Doesn't seem to be. Seem to be.
Mm-hmm. Sean Connery. What's up with him? Is he done making movies?
Yeah, I think he's out.
Mm. You think he's coming back, Bald Brian? He's got to be 80, right?
He's got an Oscar and he's got tons of Bond money, so he makes movies at his own pace, which is to say, rarely.
I like him because whenever he opens his mouth, he says something about cracking a woman. I enjoy it.
He's old school.
Yeah, him and Deacon Jones, too. I could listen to them wax on about how to treat a lady, maybe forever. Deacon Jones, you could look it up.
They replayed that, by the way, the thing you're about to tease. They replayed that on NFL Network. That still gets run.
It's the greatest. They do this thing, Deacon Jones, all-pro defensive end for the Los Angeles Rams, and they had to sit down interview with him in like, it looked like mid-70s. Or it could have been a couple years after he retired, or could have been in a later part of his career, but it looked like, I don't know, 74 or something. And he was just sitting there. And I guess there was this time, and you guys aren't old enough, but every time, the 70s were a fucking horrific time filled with retarded hippies who should all be thrown in a fucking ditch and burned right now. But every time you'd go like, well, look, you know, I would follow the president. I mean, you know, if you go like, you go, even, you know, the president 20 years from now, if he said we're going to raise tax, and then some bitch in the 70s would always go, if he, don't you mean he or she? Like, there's all that kind of stuff. Or if you went, well, if the airplane pilot, you know, if he told us to put our, you mean he or she? There's all this bullshit equality going on. Turns out guys are better, but either way, there's all this bullshit equality. So every time you fucking said something, you'd have some cunt to your left correcting you, you know, so you couldn't go he anymore. You'd have to go he or she. So maybe he got caught up in that. But possibly. Deacon Jones, I'm asking, like, how did you get to the quarterback so fast? How did you whip the weak side offensive tackle? And he went, well, I found out when you go upside a man's head, or woman. And he literally took a pause. He said, oh, woman. And they go, for a moment, they're disoriented. And that is what enabled you to get by them. I guess get out the front door in certain instances. And in others, you could get to the quarterback. But either way, either you're getting to your car or Bart Starr. But either way, it disorients them when you literally give them a head slap.
Yeah, yeah.
He invented the head slap, and they've now outlawed it. But Deacon Jones used to go upside and just sitting there with those bloodshot eyes. Oh, woman.
Explain that shot very carefully.
Oh, woman.
I love that his heart was in the right place.
I love the idea that they just play that on the NFL Network, by the way.
All right. He's trying to be gender inclusive.
All right. Well, maybe we'll find it. All right. Sorry, Susie. Where are we?
Okay. We're listing the most powerful bald men in America, which I think is proving to be not that exciting. I mean,
I'm now going to add Deacon Jones to that
list. Okay, good. He should be on there. Michael Stipe, but again, very unusual choice,
him.
Right?
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, Mike Tyson, I can see maybe 20 years ago.
Mike Tyson?
Poor Hogan. He's got hurt.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Moving on.
About the fifth time I say, all right.
All right.
It usually means moving on. That's my code for moving on.
Good to know.
Right.
We'll Thanks for the heads up.
All right. Okay.
Yesterday, more news? Is that what's happening? All right, good. All right, yesterday, that's Tuesday, officials said a ban blocked the 101 freeway in Hollywood in the morning for an impromptu concert that jammed traffic and tested the patience of commuters.
I heard about this.
Yeah, this was big for people that are in the immediate area. And this was a hardcore hip-hop band out of Orange County, which to me seems counterintuitive. I don't know if they're black. I don't know.
Oh, all right. Well, the whole thing is when someone's blocking traffic here in Los Angeles, if they're white, you can pepper spray them and drag them away because you don't have an incident.
I've had
a bunch of Mexicans chain themselves together and lay down on La Brea, then they fucking clog up the whole fucking city for 3 hours. And why don't we just fucking empower cops just to pick people up and drag them off or pepper spray them or throw them in a fucking squad car?
That's what I think.
Drives me nuts.
Well, I had a similar incident years ago. I was in a movie. Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go. And in order to get some publicity, we staged like a PETA kind of protest on Hollywood Boulevard. And everyone got naked. And then,
really?
Yeah, we stood on top of a bus. It was very similar. Mm. And I know I lost you until I said naked. You're
Schindler's
like, shut
List.
Up, bitch. I think it was E.T. the sequel, but it never took
now,
off.
What movie? I'd like to check it out.
That's actually the score. That is the score from our movie. It was called The Games People Play.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but and we all got thrown in the
And it was like a
slammer.
low budget
atrocity.
Let's play some games.
So you're going to get... They said, so the producer said, you know what we should do? What year is this, approximately?
This is like 2000.
2000. Said, we're going to get all these hot chicks.
No, it was three guys and three girls.
Uh-huh. And we're going to get them onto, did you say Sunset or Hollywood?
On Hollywood.
On Hollywood Boulevard, right in between where? Right in the middle of things?
Right in the, you know, right in the Walk of Fame.
Right in the Walk of Fame. And we're going to get you on, what are we going to do? Get you naked?
We're naked. We're spray painted, though.
Ah.
So it took a second for the nudity to kind of occur to the crowd, and that's when all hell broke loose.
Now, totally naked.
Totally naked.
Now, if you're going to get spray painted, how about you put on some panties?
I would have voted for that, but I was not in charge.
Just go totally naked.
Yeah.
Really?
Wasn't my idea.
And they spray
paint
you.
But it gets a little weirder. Shall I proceed?
They airbrush you and you got on the roof of a bus?
And now we're on the roof of a bus, and we're holding rabbits.
Rabbits.
It keeps getting weirder.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And
because there was a faux PETA protest. That was kind of the...
You know, now what color they paint you?
Black.
Oh, so the guy said black schwanzes?
Yeah, that was the look. Right, exactly.
See, when I get my cock painted, I tell them to go with vertical stripes. It's slimming, but it makes it look longer.
Good call.
You know what I mean?
Call.
The horizontal stuff makes it look, you know,
Wouldn't you want to go that way? I think you might want to go that way.
You know what?
Depends on your crowd that you're trying to appeal
to.
Right.
If you got a girth crowd out there, you got a length crowd out there.
Yeah, you
got
to do a pull before
They got to do a pull.
Yeah, pull.
So they paint, so you get totally naked.
Right.
They spray paint you.
Right. And I didn't want to bust out this detail, but you were so disinterested in the story that I knew I was going to have to get naked in some capacity.
Sure. Nice. and then they give you rabbits.
And then they give us rabbits, which just seems reasonable.
And you go up to the roof of the bus.
Correct.
And
we're holding the rabbits.
Wow, somebody hop on the internet or something. Find me a picture. And then in the movie...
The games people play, I think it's Hollywood, somebody...
Did it make money? Any money, the movie?
No, it made no money. It was never released, but it was a major ordeal. There were helicopters. It was like the OJ. It was like...
I remember when we were trying to get my movie, The Hammer, into theaters, at a certain point, Eden Wormfeld, our producer, just pulled me aside and said, paint your cock, Carolla. We're going viral. Yeah. Yeah. Little indie gal from...
I saw The Hammer. I love The Hammer.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, but yeah, evidently not. If I'd painted my cock, we would have had more eyeballs on that thing.
You should hire me as your publicist.
We could find that movie if we went online or something.
If you were so inclined.
Not you. Are you naked in the movie?
I'm naked in... Yes. I am.
Yeah, you'd have to be naked in the movie. Otherwise, the producers would be pretty ballsy to go up, hey, how about you get nude and get on this bus?
Right.
Now, what happened? Did you get arrested?
We got arrested. Cuffed.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Spent the night in Gen Pop.
And in general population.
General population.
And what they do? They put a coat over you or something?
They did. Yeah, they had these, you know, we kind of looked like, it was like scrubs kind of.
Mm-hmm. No, I know in Gen Pop, but when they're actually arresting you, do they have like female officers arrest you? Do they cover you up?
Well, we were sort of covered, you know, with the black paint. But no, we got into the cop car.
We just pure black paint straight?
No. It was sort of like it simulated a bikini, if you will.
Oh, I think see. You will. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I could dig that.
That's news.
And again, no hesitation when the producer said, how about you get naked and spray on a bikini and go get arrested?
No.
I'd want a bump for that. I mean, you're going to get arrested. You spent the night in prison.
No, I loved it. It was very
really?
Exhilarating.
Liberating?
It was very liberating. Yeah. Really? But then incredibly anticlimactic because nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. And then the movie came out the next day?
No, it never came out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do one more quickie and then
Hold
we'll
on.
Bring a...
I just found the Deacon Jones audio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. This is Deacon Jones. I don't know from what...
Someone recorded off TV and put it on YouTube, so the audio quality is a little iffy, but you can hear it clearly.
All right.
To give myself an initial head start on the pass rush. In other words, an extra step. Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman, then they have a tendency to blink their eyes or close their eyes, and that was all I needed.
He's talking about football. Like, he's not talking about, hey, what's the game of life? It's like, it's pretty much just, how do you do it? And he goes, I can get an extra step on the tackle if I go upside a man's head. Or a woman. But since there's no women playing in the NFL, it's really it's insane that he wove it into the description.
That's what happens when you're under pressure to be that politically correct.
Or a woman. And by the way, let me just say this. He didn't say, you know, humans blink when you hit them. He said, anytime I, or, you know, meaning... He's gone upside a bitch's head
That's,
just
I think
a couple
what he's
times.
Implying.
He's
sure.
definitely done the swim move on a bitch or two.
Well, she probably didn't do her chores.
Yeah. No, she was asking for it. No doubt about that.
No question.
All right, quickly. Not last enough. One. We'll bring Nick in.
Okay. This will bring us to Olympia, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
A nice young man was interested in becoming a state trooper. He was undergoing the process.
Oh, I thought that was a civil rights leader. Olympia, Washington. Doesn't sound like turn of the century.
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Frederick
it was
Douglass's
Deacon Jones's
cousin.
First wife.
Yeah, right, yeah, he went upside her head.
Totally. She had it coming.
Yeah.
Shall I continue?
Whenever you hear this.
Yes, that's when I know. That is when I know.
Okay. Hi, my name is Tyrone.
We'll get our code worked out. This.
Means fire.
Means continue.
Okay.
All and, right. All right. All right.
Also all means. All right. I know I'm disoriented.
That's all right.
I feel like I've been hit up
next
by
story.
The
next
story.
Next.
Okay.
You're doing good.
Thanks, buddy. So are you.
Thanks, man.
Olympia, Washington. Okay. This guy's trying to be a state trooper.
Mm-hmm.
He's undergoing the whole process. He has to come in for like the last thing, which is he has to do a lie detector test, right? So he's in there. He's getting the lie detector test. One of the other cops comes out and they kind of breeze past his car and they notice on the seat, on the passenger seat, there's a book that says how to beat a lie detector test.
Wow.
Which I think is, you know, preparing, thinking of head ahead. And so anyway, so he kiboshed the deal, obviously. Mm-hmm. I was shocked, said Heather Anderson. And who wouldn't be?
Well, I mean, here's the problem with the lie detector.
What?
On trying to be a cop. Every guy who want here's the deal. The guys who want to be cops, these guys were sort of usually the guys that were on the football team, not great students, not good enough to go to the next level with sports. Sort of just the jughead guys from your high school. And I know I speak ill of the cops all the time, but for a reason. There's motivation for people to get into. Like when somebody says, I want to be an attorney, there's a good chance that guy's a douche. And when someone says, I'd like to be a meter maid, there's 1,000% chance that guy's a douche.
Very high chance.
A guy says, I want to be a publicist, there's a 2,000,000% chance that guy's a douche.
I'm with you.
And when someone says, I want to be a cop, that they're kind of saying is I wouldn't mind macing somebody or roughing them up. It's uncomfortable. Like, you think about us, like a cop, like, I wouldn't want to pull people over. I wouldn't want to give them a ticket. It would ruin my day to ruin everyone else's day. Times 25 a day or 30 a day. Yeah. I mean, fuck, we were driving back from Orange County today, and we passed a whole bunch of CHP guys just standing there along the freeway holding guns. Holding radar guns at people that, you know, were doing 8 miles an hour past the speed limit when it's completely safe. So if you're the kind of dick who'd like to do that for a living, well, I'll bet there's a couple skeletons in your closet.
I bet
you were not a wallflower in high school. I bet you did a little partying. I bet you've ripped a couple of bong loads. I bet you've gotten in a couple scraps. I'll bet you you had a little history. Now, not a horrible history, but the kind
Colorful.
Of history that would make you feel weird if someone was giving a lie detector test and want to know if you'd ever tried an illegal drug. Because the answer has to be yes.
Yeah.
So then you freak out. Then you get this book.
then you're stupid enough to leave it on the bench of your seat, a bench of your truck seat, and then they find it.
But who would think that a cop would come out and look in the car? Like, I can kind of see his point.
Yeah, I don't know. Did they go out to search the car, or were they just going to lunch and look through the window?
I think they were going to lunch. That's what it sounds like to me.
All right. Well, either way, we don't need him as one of Olympia's finest.
Certainly not.
All right.
They did us a favor.
Now, stifle yourself, baby, but keep warm, because we're going to finish the news.
Good.
We're just going to interrupt it with Nick's work.
There's more news with Susie McCoppin coming up.
That clip from October of 2010, I'll never forget that day.
Yeah. Brian's dog is getting up in the years, Charlie. Still around, but it's one of these funny stories of like, oh, wow, it feels like it was yesterday. It's like, no, it's over a decade ago.
At least we know he was comfortable. All right. Let's get going with our next clip. Let's take it back now to the first year of the podcast, April of 2009.
Adam Carolla Show or Adam Carolla Podcast, episode 49, Josh Gardner, DFG. Teresa Strasser and Brian Bishop. We'll be playing episode 50 tomorrow. Same lineup, not a part one and part two. They're released as completely separate episodes. Trust me, for the archiving purposes, I want to go back and make them one, but they're released on separate days. They're separate episodes. They have to be that way. It's how they were in the RSS feed. Have to be recorded that way for historical purposes. Can't do it. So, two separate episodes, but you'll be hearing chunks from part one today. I mean, sorry, episode 149. Josh Gardner, Teresa Strasser, Brian Bishop, April of 2009.
I tell you, the message board has been buzzing ever since we broke up. And you guys did the second podcast, I think. Maybe it's the third one we did overall. But either way, everyone's wanted you guys back since. We got a lot of catching up to do. Bald Brian, I'm going to see doing the CBS pilot in the upcoming days and weeks and, God, hopefully years. But Teresa, I've not seen since she was at my home for our licking the wound party.
Yeah, I've seen your wife, but I haven't seen you.
Which was one of the rentals that got her pregnant, by the way, licking the wound.
I did see a lot of porn.
T is now showing, and it's weird and glowing, I should say. You know, when people tell you they're pregnant, it's kind of like when you tell me I'm pregnant, but you look exactly the same as you looked the day before. It's like, sweetie, good for you. Now it's like, oh, look at you.
It's weird,
isn't
it?
You're pregnant.
Yeah. No, it feels like, here's how I would describe it. I'm starving, I'm spaced out, and I'm paranoid. Mm-hmm. So it's exactly like being high.
Really?
It's exactly like being high. And I'm happy.
Or like being Teresa Strasser.
I feel euphoric, but I don't often know what day it is. I show up for appointments on the wrong time, the wrong day.
Really?
And I'm very paranoid. I mean, there's a lot of, if you saw my Google history, you would have me locked up.
And there's a lot of hormones coursing. Is that where the paranoia kicks in?
Well, I'm just so worried about the baby. You know, I was worried about getting out of the first trimester. Now I'm 4 months. But I Googled the phrase imminent miscarriage at least 20 times a day. And then it was like Down syndrome and you know, hot bath and neural tube defect, chromosome defect. Genetic defect. I mean, it was
Google
ridiculous.
Was sending some very interesting sponsored links. This woman's into killing babies.
Yeah, I was so scared about this baby because it just seemed too good to be true. I couldn't believe I'd gotten pregnant so easily, and I couldn't believe I was going to have this baby, and I just thought, now I've already told people, and if anything happens to the baby, how am I going to explain?
And if the good guys at the ATF were really on their game as far as the Patriot Act goes, they would have seized your property and locked you up months ago. So it is weird. Like, I mean, somebody should just go on the computer and see how many times I can Google Gary Glitter's name, the Philippines, Mark John Russell, or Mark.
Yeah, before the marshal shows up at your door.
Yeah, like how many times can I watch To Catch a Predator on YouTube before some guy shows up my door with a windbreaker? I don't know. I think they pass these laws. Like, I think it's that sort of thing. Like, When you're a kid, maybe you're like 13 and you're starting to get into trouble, and your mom would go, okay, I'm going to go to the market, then I'm going to the bank, then I'm going to pick up the laundry, then I'm going to go buy KFC. I'll be back in 5 minutes. And the reason she would say back in 5 minutes, because if she said, I'll be back in about 4 hours, you'd go, I'm going
to
fuck
this
joint up.
I got plenty of time to get trouble.
I'm going through your closet. I'm going to see if I can smoke a little spleef. I'm going to squeeze one off in the hamper. Like, I got a lot of shit to do in 4 hours. But they always say 5 minutes. I wonder if the government kind of does that. You know what? We're watching.
Right.
And then they go, all right, now everyone go home.
It's a security camera with no tape in it.
Yeah, or
it looks like it's watching you, but it's not.
It might even be styrofoam. Like, I don't even know if I see the wires not going anywhere.
Adam's figured how to get around this thing by not going to the library your whole life. You know, the old urban legend, they would track people who took out Mein Kampf. You know what I mean?
Oh,
they would track criminals that way.
Right.
Adam gets around it by never going to the library.
Yeah. The trick's on you. I'm functionally illiterate.
When he showed up for your wedding, they were like, who's this? He's off the grid.
It was at the library. I know.
I can't even spell Big Brother. I think it's one word. So,
gotcha.
So, Teresa, 4 months in.
Yeah.
Looking radiant, by
Thanks.
The way.
I went through a very rough patch. It was maybe a month ago where I just looked fat. I didn't look pregnant yet, but it was clear that I'd put on a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. And my face, I want to say it was a rash, but because I don't like the word acne, but that's what it was. It was all over my face. It was all over my chest. It was disgusting. So I was overweight with acne. And this is exactly like being 15. Like every day I just look in the mirror and cry. Because there was hormones and acne and fat. And I couldn't really explain to people, like, you know, I'm pregnant. And I went to the doctor. She said, you're just having an estrogen surge.
Right.
And I tried to say, oh, that's why I'm having this rash. And she said, no, that's acne. Thank you.
It is. It is.
Thank you.
There is that moment when you discover your first gray pube. And you turn around and notice you have a nice zit on your shoulder. And you think, really? Same time.
Right.
In my mind, the gray pube and the zit were going to be about 30 years apart. I did not know they were going to cross or commingle.
I don't appreciate seeing crow's feet and acne.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. You will still, somebody needs to pull people aside and go, listen, son. There's a couple things. We're talking about this on the podcast, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. But, like, I know you're 15 and you're beating off twice a day and you got a back full of zits. Guess what you're going to be doing 40 years from now? Beating off once or twice a day, and you're still going to find that rogue zit on your back. Do not think this is something you leave behind like your locker in high school.
Life gets better, but not perfect.
It gets better, but not so good.
Yeah, no, it'll be eerily similar at times.
Yes. You will catch yourself over the sink in the mirror, staring at a little salt and pepper on your temple, squeezing one off, spotting the zit on your shoulders, it holds on your magazine hand, and thinking, really?
The good news is
what my 40s are like.
Your dexterity will be amazing.
Yes. So now, Teresa, you have been up to what? Obviously, TV Water Cooler and TV Gotcha.
TV Water Cooler, and I've been writing. I started a blog. At this point, I'll be Twittering in 2012. I'm a little behind the times. I'm not an early adapter. But I started a blog, and I'm surprised this domain name was available, but I have started exploiting my baby.com.
Wow. Nice.
Where I'm writing about any of this stuff, any and all of this stuff.
But Donna sold that to you.
I know. It took some wrangling, but Madge gave it up.
I don't know if there's another human being that does this. I was just thinking of Jenny McCarthy when you were talking about exploiting the baby, but I thought, you know, so many of these airheads have kids and turn them into turn it into a franchise of writing retarded kids stories and baby books and how to be a mommy and all that stuff. You're actually smart and a very, very good writer. And so you having a kid, all the crap that comes out of you other than the kid and the placenta should be gold. And I have this to look forward to, but I had one of the most satisfying and simultaneously gay moments of my life this morning when Kevin Hanch, who I wrote The Hammer with and I'm writing the CBS pilot with, we were just sitting around our bungalow in CBS, going to do another pass on our network notes. And I was saying to him the other day that Jenny McCarthy drove me nuts when she was on Oprah because she had one of these haircuts. She had this bob where the bangs kept falling in her face, and 128 times in a 14-minute interview, she did this move where she took her forefinger and slung her hair behind her ear, only to fall exactly back to where it was.
Very distracting.
Very distracting.
People have hair that falls in front of their eyes?
Yes. Sorry, bald bride. And the male equivalent is the jackass who's the male model, and he has the really long hair, and he does that move where he takes his thumb and his forefinger, and he turns it into like when you're saying, it's about 4 inches, about 4 or 5 inches. He does that, and he drags it along his skull, and his two long bangs move back, and then he removes his hand, and they fall back exactly. It's almost like you holding a curtain up, letting it go, having it fall right back into place, and then holding it up again. At what point do you think the fucking curtain's going to levitate?
Yeah, this is a Johnny Depp kind of
hair. Yes, the 128th time I hold it into air and let it go, it's just going to freeze in space. Jenny McCarthy, how many times do you have to do the finger flip with the bang before it falls in front of your face? It's a nervous tick at a certain point. Anyway, I did 20 minutes on this in the writer's room, of course. Eventually, someone said, can we go ahead and start working on the script? No, I'm not done with
Jenny McCarthy and her annoying hair.
Annoying hair script? From Oprah. From an 07 Oprah.
That was right. Not the most recent Oprah.
So, Kevin Hinch, who may... he may suffer from that that OCD thing that I have, or the sort of hypervigilance more than me, said, punch up Huffington Post. And it was a picture of Jim Carrey and their kid, and they're like on the steps of the White House or whatever, and they're having a rally, and Jenny McCarthy, it's just a random shot, and Jenny McCarthy is mid fixing her hair.
No.
And he was like, vindication. This is a random shot. It's not a pose shot. It's like one of those just shots they take in while Jim Carrey's like shaking someone's hand and the kid is crying. She's mid hair fix, which means there's no such thing as that. She must do this 200 times.
I had a similar problem when I was watching her on Oprah, and I started counting, and I was like, don't count. It's an OCD thing. I'm trying to hear about how you cured your kid of autism. I need you to stop moving your hair.
Right. You're curing the kid of autism. I'm going to have an epileptic seizure if you stop on an even number.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's like
the hair flipping.
Oh, my God. It's like stepping on a crack. Something horrible is going to happen. No, you have to flick it one more time. Make it even.
One more. We got to go even now.
Thank God for TiVo. Yeah.
So I have no idea what I was talking about. But
Right. Well, you know, I read Jenny McCarthy's book. It's called Belly Flops.
Of course you did.
Your wife gave it to me. Now, you want to hate it because you want to think Jenny McCarthy.
For that book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just put money in Jenny McCarthy's pocket.
Well, the thing is if you write, mamas with money will buy every goddamn book that comes out for a kid. And then magically, and I'm glad my wife gave it to you, they seem to go into some hole somewhere because I keep doing the stroller, jammies, shoes, and book math. And I'm like, we have a stroller that has about two blocks on it, and the kids have outgrown it. We have books that nobody needs to read anymore. They're about prenatal vitamins. And we have shoes that the kids put on, never left the house in, and now their foot is outgrown. Where does all this shit go, and can't we take all our shit and dump it off to some poor Mexicans so they don't have to buy?
There must be a huge secondary market for this.
Yeah, hand-me-downs.
Why don't you turn some of that eBay time from buying to selling?
You guys should have. You guys know me well, and so you'll laugh when you close your eyes and picture this visual, which is we had this piece of shit like double twin stroller where the seats popped out and became car seats.
Sure.
And it was kind of like one of those reversible windbreakers or belt that reversed or something. Seemed like a great time saver, ended up being more fucking trouble. It is like instead, it was sort of like a futon. Hey, this is awesome. But the reality is instead of a sofa that turns into a bed, it's the shittiest sofa on the planet and a horribly uncomfortable shitty bed that you can't get it good. It's really worse than just having a good one. You'd be better off with just a good sofa. You could nap on that and you'd be comfortable watching the ball game. This is how this thing was. It never worked. No one ever wanted it. The kids outgrew it almost immediately. And the thing thus sat in the garage for about a year. And I said to my wife, you know, 128 times, what's up with the double stroller? I trip over it. You know, it's big, it's clunky, it's cumbersome. It's got nine wheels on it. It's collapsible, but it never quite works. Why is that still? Why do I trip? Why do I have to climb over that to get to my car every morning? Oh, the nanny's going to take it to the church. Well, please have her do it. And cut, fast forward to, please have her do it. Fast forward. Please tell Olga to take. Fast forward to me standing over a dumpster that was in my backyard because I was doing construction. Olga and my wife standing at the kitchen window looking at me, swinging this thing as it broke into pieces and screaming, I hope the fucking orphans can enjoy this now. And when those goddamn twin fucking orphans at the goddamn Mexican orphanage want to know where their fucking stroller is, I will scream at them that I beg you guys 50 times to take this shit to the fucking orphanage, but nobody heard me, and now no one's getting a goddamn. And I was like wearing shorts with no shirt, one flip flop. I look like I completely went insane. Would you guys feel my pain on me?
Also,
how many fucking times are we going to talk about this?
Totally identifiable.
Oh, and shut up.
I was just thinking the good news is your sitcom just writes itself. Because if that's not an endearing, wholesome moment
it's an every man
in the
story.
Life of Ace, every man, dad, and working class hero.
Can I ask you this? Is the strategy to say for the 29th time, do you think you could have Olga bring the twin stroller by the orphanage?
I just like them looking through the window, cowering, like holding each other's hand, like oh
like,
no.
Like looking at a hurricane.
Like watching a hurricane.
Is it going to take the carports?
I was swinging it like I was in a lumberjack competition.
Stay away from the window.
As it broke into pieces over the edge of the steel railing on the dumpster, and then I eventually just chucked it at the dumpster like I was in one of the, like I was doing the Highland Games, and I was in like a log throw, and I said, now we no longer have to worry about the stroller. There will be no more discussions about the stroller.
You know, it was funny. I came over to your house, and I'm like, I go, holy shit, what happened to the stroller? It looks like somebody ran over the stroller. It was like all mangled and hanging off the side of the dumpster. And then Adam, of course, went off for about a half hour on what the hell happened.
Did he segue into Jenny McCarthy's hair?
Well, like the
no, not at that time.
Smash a stroll over Jenny McCarthy.
Sure. That'd be perfect.
Really, I every time I talk to a therapist about this, they always do this, and all that makes me want to smash them over a dumpster, and because this is horrible therapy. Here's what the therapist should be like. Your wife's a bitch. You're right. Now it'll be $90.
Radical therapy.
Instead, it's always, well, if it's really important to you, then maybe you should bring
take this out and donate.
Fuck
it.
That! I'm fucking working 5 jobs. No, I'm not going to take the fucking. By the way, if I do take the fucking stroller to the orphanage, I'm going to keep driving until I get to Mexico, and I'm going to take a 17-year-old bride. Sure. I'm not fucking taking it. Hey, this. By the way, you think this is a good job of therapy? Telling me to eventually do all the shit that no one will do.
Well, they say guys don't buy relationship books, that they're only sold to women, so they're geared toward women. However, I think there could be a book, Your Wife's a Bitch.
Right, let's
and
that's, face it.
And guys will buy that.
Right.
They
should call it, You're Right, Your Wife's
You're
a Bitch.
You're right. She should have listened to you, and she's really being a bitch.
I would argue with Face It, You Married a Cunt. That would be my alternate title.
You're trapped in a marriage you'll never understand.
No, the whole problem with this is my wife and my nanny are the nicest people on the planet. It's just we're not moving your fucking stroller.
Right.
Like, and what the therapists always say is it's important to you, but obviously it's not important to them. And my argument is always, I know, but I'm telling them it's important to me. Thus, that should make it important to them, since it's important to them that I go out and work all day and not have fits in the driveway in my underpants
with
a stroller.
You don't need that. I feel like the important thing to you is to be heard.
That's right.
And that would be a physical manifestation of them hearing you.
Right.
Thus, when you're smashing the stroller, what you're saying is, you're not listening to me, and that hurts.
Or have I got your attention now?
Right.
I think that's...
Please hear me next time.
Right. Also, there's a practical side to it, which is I don't really give a shit whether the orphans get the stroller or not. I just was trying to do... I was just trying to be civil about the whole
right.
thing and not throw away $150 worth of stroller or put it in a landfill. But evidently, you guys will not satisfy me in this
way.
Well,
your wife really is the nicest person. And since I've been pregnant, it's been really nice having somebody who's been through the experience, who knows things, and She did give me belly laughs, and it's not—it's kind of a good book. Oh, you want to hate it. Believe me, I wanted to hate on it, but she's actually entertaining. You feel like saying it at a certain point, like, we get it, you're edgy. You talk about poop and you fart, we get it.
Right.
But it's still entertaining and good. However, somebody gave me Nancy O'Dell's book. And
oh, no.
Speaking of edgy.
I did to that book what you did to the stroller. And my husband was scared. I was like, you fucking cunt. I hate you. This whole book is about your total lack of pregnancy symptoms. Like, I'm reading it in the tub in the middle of the night because I'm so fucking nauseous. I'm eating cereal in the tub because I have to eat every second or I'll be throwing up. And her whole book is about how the only really things that she noticed was her skin was really glowing and her hair got even more lustrous and fuller.
I know.
Pregnancy sounds awesome.
Bitch, I hate you. I
contract that on her. Meanwhile, so she craps out a kid barely has to sit up to crap out the kid. Her skin gets nicer. But she does Dancing with the Stars and tears her meniscus before they even start the competition.
That show is more dangerous than childbirth.
People fuck themselves up on that show all the time.
I mean, she's a beautiful, lovely woman, and I shouldn't be angry at her.
It's all right to be angry at everybody who experiences something. Like, when you're struggling with a Rubik's Cube and you're on hour 13 and you've barely got one side to line up and some little Japanese kid does it behind his back in 13 seconds, you should be pissed at him and want to smash him over a dumpster.
Yeah, and then what if you wrote a book about how easy the Rubik's Cube was?
Yeah.
And you had to read it as you were struggling with your own stupid Rubik's Cube. And then, so I found out the gender of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And had a little trouble. It was not
your gender.
I found out.
Hold on a second, Donnie. Unless that's business, be quiet, please.
Donnie, don't you care if I'm having a boy or a girl?
Big reveal right here.
So you found out the gender?
Yeah, because I had this CVS test, this big test that, you know, they look for genetic abnormalities. The one that made me, I didn't leave my house for 2 weeks. Basically,
sure.
After that,
sure.
I was so nervous. Test.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm Ashkenazi and we're inbred. We have all kind of disorders.
Sure.
And so I was really nervous. And I'd probably be nervous anyway because that's just who I am.
Right.
So I found out the gender and it was, I'm very happy about it now. Very happy about it now. But it was not the gender that I had in mind. And
was there a third? I feel like. It's like flipping a coin, having it land on heads or tails, and being surprised when it lands on one, or disappointed. Like, really?
Rats.
Do you think it was going to land on its edge?
It's not a
dreidel, baby.
No, everything's a dreidel. I wanted Gimmel, and I got none. That's a little dreidel humor for you. Well, I had this magical thinking where I looked at the sonogram and I looked at the baby's face.
Mm-hmm.
I know what gender you are. And all of my fantasies about having kids, they just attach this one gender.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out it was not that gender, I had a little rough couple days.
Now, I feel like we need to ask.
What do you think?
I think you'd want a boy, and I think the girl was the part that disappointed you. Right?
I agree with that. I think she wants a boy first.
She set on a boy, so she's having a girl.
Yep.
All right.
I wanted a girl so bad.
Oh, really?
I wanted a girl. I wanted to take her to Albertsons in her fairy outfit because she insisted on wearing it with her wings. And, you know, you have a girl that's a friend for life.
Right.
You know?
The boy can do that.
Boys, I don't understand. Like, they think farts are funny. They play with trucks.
Yeah, they do.
They're sullen. When they're teenagers?
It's called beating off in the bathroom.
They're going to masturbate. Oh, God.
And not only that, here's the sad thing, the sad testimonial. I don't know a guy, and maybe this is just my crowd, and maybe this is, maybe this is a little cathartic, but there's not a white guy, and I say white guy because I'm excluding the black athletes from this group. There's not a white guy I know who hit his 18th birthday and never wanted to see his mom again.
Right.
Really, honestly. Like, he put up with her on Thanksgiving and Christmas, but it really, there's no guy I know that's ever said to his mom, listen, mom, I need your advice. Like, it's not like, I've never talked to my mom about anything meaningful my entire adult life. I would never seek her advice out for anything. I don't even know if I'd share any information with her. Almost every guy I know, I've never heard a guy who was 33 go, I got to tell my mom. And if he did, it's a guy I wouldn't want to hang out with. So maybe this is trouble. Now, Brian, you have a great relationship with your mom, right?
Yes, true. Although I haven't, I mean, in terms of like life advice, like when I was younger, like, you know, in my 20s, asking about, you know, should I take this job or should I not? That kind of thing. Like, what do you think? But not to the level to your that you're talking about.
But did you ever think, I got to ask my mom.
No, that was never the first thought that popped into my head. Although I value her opinion a lot, I did never the first thought. Like, what does my mom think? I got to ask her right away.
See, he loves his mom.
He loves his mom, and all these guys love their mom, but they never have that. I got to talk to my mom. You know, who's going to be able to solve this problem.
My mom's
going to be able to solve this problem. Not any guy I know. Now, these same guys will talk to their dads. Like, yeah. They will go, I'm thinking about getting married, but I don't know if she's the right one. Oh, there'll be financial advice. Or they'll go, I'm thinking about going to law school, but I'm not sure if I should just go out and get a job. These guys, now don't get me wrong, I would never talk about my dad to my dad about anything, any circumstance, and certainly not ask his advice for anything. I would ask a hobo's advice on sleeping on railroad tracks. I would wake up a urine-soaked, sterno-soaked hobo and ask his advice before I would ask my dad. So for me, it's a street runs both ways. But all I'm judging from all the guys I know who just essentially tried to avoid their mom in their adult life. And then a lot of this, Christ, what's up? Mom's out from Jersey. She's with us for 3 days.
Oh, no.
So I got to get my shit together.
That'll be me imposing on my boy.
Yeah, he's going to hate you.
Adam has an exaggerated version of this.
Do I?
That's not the way, at least in my life. Most of my friends
think that's what made me feel better about having a boy.
They like their mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed guys like their moms.
You want to talk to them?
I will call to say what's up or see how she's doing every few days, you know, 4 or 5 days.
If mom called them 2 days in a row, they'd be pissed.
I'd wonder what's up.
But think about this.
What's going on?
Think about mothers and daughters. This is what's comforting me about the boy. Now I'm really excited about
him. Well, you guys hate each other. You guys will. That's, there will be hatred.
Eventually, a little girl who's so cute in her little princess outfit or whatever is just going to fucking hate me. She's just going to hate me one day. Whereas a son will probably not hate me. He might be irritated by me. But
Your sons, we never vitriol. It's indifference. Like, all right, I'll throw a bone and get her bouquet off the side of the freeway. It's Mother's Day, after
from
all.
From that sterno-soaked hobo that you got the advice from.
Yeah, and it's like, what? $13 for flowers? Here's 10. Come on. This is my mom. I'm not trying to fuck her.
Come on
again.
Now.
I mean...
I don't go back there.
Donnie, you love your mom, and your mom's a good woman, and she deserved to be loved. Twice a year would be enough for you, right?
Yeah.
To love his mom.
Oh, my God.
And Donnie loves his mom.
He's a Jew.
She's the greatest.
She is?
Woman.
Okay, good.
Well, the second greatest woman in my life.
That's right.
Now, would you get a mom tattoo? I'd like my son to get that.
The old school sailor tattoo?
I'm Jewish. I can't get any tattoos.
So am I. I'd like my child just to have one tattoo. Mm-hmm. Mom. You know, like an anchor.
Right. So, all right. We've established that white people, once they hit 19, don't really want to see their mom again.
Yeah.
So you have that problem.
Yeah.
Now, there is, it's a long shot, but if you give birth to a black athlete, it's going to be awesome.
Not that long of a shot, no, Teresa.
These guys love their mom. And, you know,
they buy their mom a house.
When they're being inducted in the Hall of Fame, it's all about how many jobs these guys worked and how moms, you know, raised 7 kids on her own and all that kind of stuff. Actually, see, here's the deal. I don't know, because you could get divorced and then just raise the kid on their own.
Yeah.
But white kids resent moms for getting divorced. They blame you for the divorce, whereas the black athlete is cool with that and actually blames dad, who is a Rolling Stone.
Yeah, dad bailed.
Dad bailed.
I can't win.
I think you can if your man bails on you.
At what point? Like at what age?
Let's say between 7 and 9.
Yeah.
If you could get your man to just pack up and take off
Daniel,
with another
take a walk.
Woman, no. He has to announce, I'm out of here. Right. As a matter of fact, he should say he's going out for a pack of smokes and never come back.
Right.
Then you become a hero.
Right, because I raised the boy on my own.
Right.
I struggled.
If you guys just get divorced, even if it's because you busted him for cheating, it's still because you didn't look the other way.
Yeah.
You drove him away. If you'd been giving him more oral or doing a better job, he wouldn't have had to go outside the marriage.
Okay, so between 7 and 9... Now, can I stay married to Daniel secretly?
I mean, if, this feels like, a Mrs. Doubtfire-esque ruse, you know, barely sustainable for 90 minutes. I don't know how you're going to pull this off.
Made a movie.
Till the kid gets till the kid gets into college. If you think you can disguise him as the gardener or something and carry on a relationship, knock yourself out. I think with the Strasser blood coursing through his veins, he's going to be way too sharp and he'll be onto your ruse in a matter of moments. Now, I would say have your husband legitimately abandon the family. Let's not take a chance.
He may want to by then anyway. You know, 7 years
of the over-under is four and a half years. So it'll be one of these.
My charm wears off.
Like, the conversation will be like, hey, what if you just left and kept walking, and his response will be done and done.
In the pool, I've got year number three.
Oh, really?
You're three?
Yeah.
Oh, you went under?
I went under.
Yeah, I went under too. Yeah.
Well, Nancy O'Dell's having a girl, and I was reading her book just as I had found out about the boy, so that was even more reason to hate her. And it's even got a cute name, Ashby.
Ashby?
It's probably going to be all gorgeous and happy.
It's got to be gorgeous.
I did think, even though I'm having, and I'm really excited about a boy.
Ashby.
And I know Ashby.
The girl?
Yeah, that's Nancy O'Dell's girl. One of the things that made me feel better about having a boy, and this is weird because these are grown men, but Mike Chaffee and Kyle, who are like 25 and maybe 23
They're very much in love, yes.
Mm-hmm. I love them. Like, if I had a boy and he turned out like them, I'd be really happy.
No, they hate their moms.
No!
They're cool with you.
They like me, okay. Yeah. But they're good kids. And, you know, even Brian, if you had a son that turned out like Brian, but with hair.
Yeah.
Here's what guys do, though, essentially, is we just extend that, if we can't fuck you, you're no good to us, kind of thing that goes into the female as friends, you know, when the hot chick naively says, no, Brian's just a dear, dear friend. I'm like, yeah, go camping with him, bring a six-pack of Strohs with you, and let me know how it goes. Tell me if at some point he doesn't roll over on you while you're asleep.
Did you have female friends in your formative years? Or maybe in your 20s or whatever? You weren't interested in sexually.
Here's the female friends you have in your sort of formative years. They're the ones you wanted to fuck.
Right.
But they basically said, I'm not fucking you. And you went, all right, maybe we can fuck later.
Right.
Maybe you'll be drunk enough and break up with what's-his-nose.
I'm going to table this.
Maybe I can catch you.
On a skid.
Yeah. On a skid and drunk.
Right. Yeah, who knows if I show up to Midnight Rendezvous at 2:05 and your boyfriend just called you fat horn, rock down, you had five greyhounds in you. Who knows? Who knows? So I'm going to put you in my injured reserve.
The perfect storm.
That's right.
Yeah, you're five greyhounds and, you know, 100 tears away from having sex with me.
And enough, which would be the ultimate mixer, by the way. Just the tears. Forget about the Tom Collins mix. Right. You want to work about getting into someone's pants, the tears mix would be awesome. I'll put it right next to the Mrs. T stuff.
The greyhound.
But Donnie, you and I know there's been enough success stories of guys that made the initial attempt, hung out, and 3 years later, pow, something happened. So we'll toss you in our bullpen. But the mom is the ultimate, I don't want to fuck you, you have a vagina, and I don't have any use for you anymore. And I know it sounds crass and horrible, but if you just go with the guy's general rule of thumb, yes, the formative years were this. Here's where the chicks. The chicks were... Here's the chicks that, and when I say me, I mean all me and all my buddies. We're trying to get with them. Then there's this sort of ancillary, I'm not with them. She's with my friend. Thus, she's around because she's with him. But maybe we'll get together at some point. And then there was the couple of two chicks who were trying to get with you and or your friends. So they sort of had an agenda. And it felt pretty good to have them cleaning your apartment and giving you the occasional blowjob, too. So that wasn't bad either. But the point is all
there's a sexual link to all of them.
Lead to vagina.
Yeah.
So Adam's attitude towards women is a spectrum disorder. There are people on all sides.
And I'm not some poon hound. I'm just saying, in the mind of the average 21 or 19-year-old heterosexual male, when you remove the vaginal, sexual, I might get with you at some point component, you can cut down the pool of friends to almost nothing.
Sure. Well, now, 19 to 25.
Mom is the ultimate chick you don't want to fuck, right?
Ever.
Well, why does she need to hang out at the apartment?
Mm. Now, has there ever been a woman so fascinating and so compelling that even if you didn't want to have sex with her, you would want to keep her around?
Mm. What if you got really high and decided it was good to have sex with her?
I mean, there's always a chance that maybe high, that would seem like a good idea.
Don, sure, Teresa. What if my car ran on unicorn breath?
That's right.
And rainbows.
Powered by good vibes.
It's really not unusual because it makes me rethink a lot of my friendships.
And that was Adam, Teresa, Brian, and Josh Gardner, DFG's good old pal, back in 2009. All right, that'll do for part one of today's episode. But stick around, part two coming up next.